This is the Poetry Foundation's Essential American Poets podcast. Essential American Poets is an online audio poetry collection. The poets included in the collection were selected in 2006 by Donald Hall when he was poet laureate. Recordings of the poets he selected are available online at poetryfoundation.org and poetryarchive.org. In this edition of the podcast, we'll hear poems by Maxine Cumin. Born in 1925, Maxine Cumin wanted to be an Olympic swimmer as a teenager. Later, she wished she'd been a professional horse trainer. She published her first book in 1961 when she was 36 and a wife and mother living in the suburbs of Boston. There, she became friends with the poet Anne Sexton. Although associated with confessional poetry, Cumin's work is perhaps most notably pastoral and regional, drawing consistently on her New England roots. Since 1976, she's lived on a farm with her husband in rural New Hampshire, where they breed horses. In her poems, she presents an unsentimental and plain-spoken view of the dailiness of life and death on the farm. Loss and mortality recur throughout Cumin's poetry. She said that all poems, even love poems, are elegies in one sense or another. Cumin also writes fiction and has authored many works for children. As a result, one of the pleasures in reading her is finding the same experience appearing differently across various forms of writing. Cumin has published over a dozen collections of poetry, including the Pulitzer Prize-winning Up Country, Poems of New England. After a severe riding accident at the age of 73, Cumin charted her convalescence in the prose book Inside the Halo and Beyond. Cumin continues to live on her New Hampshire farm, the geographic touchstone for so much of her writing. The following poems were recorded in 2007.
This poem is called How It Is, and I wrote it shortly after the suicide of my closest friend, Anne Sexton, and that was in October of 1974. How It Is. Shall I say how it is in your clothes? A month after your death, I wear your blue jacket. The dog at the center of my life recognizes you've come to visit. He's ecstatic. In the left pocket, a hole. In the right, a parking ticket delivered up last August on Bay State Road. In my heart, a scatter like milkweed, a flinging from the pods of the soul. My skin presses your old outline. It is hot and dry inside. I think of the last day of your life, old friend, how I would unwind it, paste it together in a different collage. Back from the death car idling in the garage, back up the stairs, your praying hands unlaced, reassembling the bits of bread and tuna fish into a ceremony of sandwich, running the home movie backward to a space we could be easy in, a kitchen place with vodka and ice, our words like living meat. Dear friend, you have excited crowds with your example. They swell like wine bags straining at your seams. I will be years gathering up our words, fishing out letters, snapshots, stains, leaning my ribs against this durable cloth to put on the dumb blue blazer of your death. This poem is called Nurture. It refers to a 19th century account of a supposed wild child, when in truth, historically, there never has been a true wild child discovered. Nurture. From a documentary on marsupials, I learned that a pillowcase makes a fine substitute pouch for an orphaned kangaroo. I am drawn to such dramas of animal rescue. They are warm in the throat. I suffer, the critic proclaims, from an overabundance of maternal genes. Bring me your fallen fledgling, your bummer lamb. Lead the abused, the starvelings, into my barn. Advise the hunted deer to leap into my corn. And had there been a wild child, filthy, fierce as a ferret, he is called in one 19th century account, a wild child to love, it is safe to assume given my fireside inked with paw prints, there would have been room. Think of the language we two, same and not same, might have constructed from sign, scratch, grimace, grunt, vowel, laughter our first noun, and our long verb, howl. This poem is about the suicide of Anne Sexton in 1974, and it's a villanelle. The Revisionist Dream. Well, she didn't kill herself that afternoon. It was a mild day in October. We sat outside over sandwiches. She said she had begun to practice yoga, take piano lessons, rewrite her drama rife with lust and pride, and so she didn't kill herself that afternoon. Hugged me, went home, cranked the garage doors open, scuffed through the garish leaves, orange and red, that brought on grief. She said she had begun to translate Akhmatova, her handsome Russian piano teacher rendering the word for word. So she didn't kill herself that afternoon. She cooked for him, made quiche and coq au vin. He stood the churny method on its head while her fingers flew. She said she had begun accelerandos, Julia Child, and some expand along deep breaths to do in bed. So she didn't kill herself that afternoon. We ate our sandwiches. The dream blew up at dawn.
That was Maxine Cumin, recorded in 2007. You have been listening to the Essential American Poets podcast, produced by the Poetry Foundation in collaboration with poetryarchive.org. To learn more about Maxine Cumin and other Essential American Poets, and to hear more poetry, go to poetryfoundation.org.